This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Giddy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Colorado's cooler in the summer, and I still have friends in Santa Fe, and I hear that New Orleans is nice this time of year. It doesn't matter, there's no more room down here. The borders are closing in. This place got smaller when we filled it up with our memories. My leaving's the only way I have a chance to escape, 'cause Texas ain't as big as it used to be.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, seeking to enlighten your musical life. Broadcasting in crystal clear high definition from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Beautiful up here today, folks. A beautiful day here in North Texas. We're so glad you could all join us here today. Well, what is on tap today, Phil? What is on tap on the podcast? Let me tell you where I've been, folks. I have been out there on the front lines. Out there at the front, and now I am back with the news to share it all with you. Perspectives, thoughts, interests, things that occur to me along the way. A musician out there trying to make his way, trying to make a living, raise a family, keep the band playing, and also revolutionize the world through art, through music, and all things good. So glad you could be with us today. Hey, in our second segment, we're going to be joined by the great man himself, Blake Walker. Oh, you know of whom I speak. Our old road manager, Blake Walker. Walker, Texas Road Manager, as we call him so affectionately over the years. We caught up with Walker, had a gig out in Frisco. Hello, thank you, Frisco, Texas, Loughran's Pub. First time I ever played up there. Cool place, man, right there by Pizza Hut Park. A lot going on in Frisco, Texas. Lot going on in Frisco, Texas up there. Bunch of new houses. Folks will know that ex-full band guys. Of course, you're never an ex-full band guy. Former active full band folks, Jason Stolle, drummer, and Ryan Lynch on bass, now call Frisco their home. And they made it to the show. Came on out to the Loughran's Irish Pub and Eatery the other night. So good. So good to see them. And man, great night at the Firehouse the other night. Thanks, folks, for coming out. Man, we had a big, couple big birthday parties showing up out there. Firehouse, packing it in, singing and dancing all night. Brian Sachs, the great Brian Sachs, came in here with his band a while back from Houston, Texas, recorded an album. He showed interest in my Silverface Fender Super Reverb amp. Oh, it is with a, this is tough. And he purchased the amp from me. Right off the Firehouse stage. Oh man, this is always a tough deal. Gear remorse. Are you like me? Do you have buyer's remorse, seller's remorse? I always have seller's remorse. I don't really have buyer's remorse a whole lot. I never buy anything expensive. Oh, it's true. It is true. Hard to have remorse when you get a nice guitar for $50, you know? But yeah, man, had that Fender Super Reverb, excuse me. And it has served me well for many years. But You know, man, it's here in the studio. I don't take it on the road anymore. It's in nice condition, man. The Tolex is all nice, and had to just get it banged up. I had my trusty old Music Man amp out there, my 112 Music Man. Then I got my reissue Fender Deluxe Reverb, which I have really enjoyed. That's what you usually hear me playing through out there. Had bad luck with the reissue Fender. Several years ago, I bought a reissue Blackface Fender Reverb amp, 112-inch speaker. It's got the vibrato. It's got the reverb. It's a reissue of a 1965 Fender amp, Blackface. God, this one I bought a while back, years ago in Austin. It was just terrible, man. It just crapped out on me. I ended up taking it back, just get my money back. I was like, dude, this thing stinks. So took that back. Bad luck with that. I ended up with this new one. I actually bought it with that said Super Reverb that I sold to Brian Sachs. But I got them both together, kind of a bulk deal, the Great Competition Music down the street here. Great store. Go in there, see them. Competition Music, great used vintage gear laying around everywhere. And so I bought those both together. Loved them both. Man, that Super Reverb is big. Man, you're talking 4 10-inch speakers in there. Heavy as lead. Oh, my goodness. But I congratulate Brian Sachs. I don't sell a lot of gear. So if you know Brian or you heard his stuff, you want to check out the old amp. He's got it somewhere. I hope it serves him well for years to come. Hope it comes to a club near you to play great stuff through it. But Brian came to sound check at the firehouse the other night. I said, man, you can play through the amp, or take it home, whatever. He goes, no, man, I'm ready to buy it, But I had it plugged in just so I could kind of play through it. Dude, I was blown away by the tone. I hadn't played through it in a while in a big room like that. Had it cranked up. Actually, 2 on volume is loud as hell on that amp. But, God, sounded good. I was just like, hey, man, maybe I'll just play the show with this amp and you can have it after the show. He's like, well, I was kind of hoping to take it now, I'm ready to buy it. So, yeah, I just kind of let it go. Just like the van. I've told the story on stage about me selling the van. Sentimental. I'm just kind of a sentimental guy when it comes to my gear. Stuff that makes me sound good. Stuff that gets me from place to place safely. It's hard to let those things go. I always feel like I'm jinxing myself a little bit. Then I have to remind myself, hey, there's a lot of amps out there. I've owned a lot of amps, a lot of guitars. But I've always got buyer's remorse, man. Seller's remorse, rather. Seller's remorse. The worst thing I ever did was trade my 1965 Gretsch hollow body Chet Atkins Tennessean guitar for a couple of amps that soon got stolen. Oh, what a disaster that was. But that's a guitar. That keeps me up at night. I mentioned it on a previous podcast. Now David Abeda, the guitar player for Reckless Kelly, has it. He bought it in Austin. And I'm sure it's serving him well. Much to my chagrin, but I digress. What are we going to talk about on the podcast today? Well, Walker's out there in the hall now. I said, look, Blake, stay out there. Just keep drinking the coffee. He's got his, I don't know if it's chewing tobacco, what he's got going on over there. Drinking, pacing around outside, banging on the door, wanting to come in here and talk about Frisco and the gig. He and all the guys were at the gig the other night. So we're going to have Blake Walker in here to opine and enlighten us with his view of the world here in just a little bit. Well, man, I've gotten a lot of email. Thank you all very much. A lot of postings, a lot of emails, things sent from people on our last podcast as John Reynolds and I sat down and commiserated over the departing of Kurt South heading to Virginia. He played his last shows Saturday night. He played a huge gig at the White Elephant, man. Everybody went. Of course, I was playing in the firehouse. I couldn't go. I was trying to make it back for his Fred's gig on Sunday, and that didn't work either. So, man, what kind of friend am I? I didn't make it to his last two shows. But then I just think, man, I've sat through endless hundreds of them before when no one was there, when I was the only guy there. Oh, now everybody's going to go to the gigs because it's his last show? Come on, man. I deserve better than that. It's kind of like the Yogi Berra thing. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded, That's kind of how I feel. Once the crowd gets big, I don't go there. So everyone's out there crying about Kurt South leaving town. The tears, the weeping. Not me. I wouldn't be privy to it. Although I really was trying to get to make it to Fred's, but I was glad to hear the shows went well. John Reynolds across the hall. John Reynolds, podcast's own John Reynolds, came in, said he went to the Fred show, said it was great. And I heard from the great Jeffrey West at Zoo Music, who plays guitar for Kurt. Told me that Saturday night at the White Elephant was great. So we wish him well. South, if you're listening out there in Virginia. Also, I want to know this. I've also texted Kurt South about four times. His phone is not receiving text messages. I try to leave a voicemail. It says this mailbox is full. I don't know if he's true to Kurt South's word. He might have just thrown his phone into a lake somewhere, canceled his contract with his cell phone carrier, driven on to Virginia with his wife and family. We may never see him again. You know, he always threatened to do that. I wonder if he's finally done it. You know, I always said that one day I'd, kind of like that scene in Good Will Hunting, you know, where Ben Affleck goes to pick up Matt Damon and he's just gone. He's just gone. And that was the best day of his life. He said, the best day of my life is going to be when I come pick you up and you're not even there. I wonder if that has occurred with Kurt South. He told us he was leaving, but it still seemed all too soon. But we wish him well. I'm going to try to get him on the podcast here very soon. How do you do that? I have to. Everybody's Kevin Haggard, my web guy down there in Houston. He sent me some software for Skype, you know, to Skype him in, man, so we can get him on the phone, record a conversation. I don't know. I don't know though if I can. I miss just looking at his dirty boots and his big can of snuff, you know, spit cup sitting here, you know, drinking a beer. Good grief. I mean, that just sort of puts me in the mood to talk. To you know, it makes me feel like I can say anything. So I don't know how it'll work talking to Kurt South via Skype, via satellite, or via the internet, over the phone, but we'll try it for you because you want it. But indeed, a lot of email, a lot of chatter on that subject. So thanks for bringing it in. We miss Kurt South very much, and we will have him on soon. Also, oh my, ruffling the feathers, Pritchett ruffling the feathers. Actually, a lot of just consolation from you fans out there as I went on a rant or a little rambling on my health insurance policy. Oh my goodness gracious. Paying more for less. What a disaster this thing is. How did we get here? But I got a lot of emails from you out there saying, hey man, we're in the same boat trying to figure out how to pay for all this stuff. You know, kids and health insurance. The big thing I didn't realize is that for older Americans like me, no, but you know, like if you're over like 50, under the new law, this is my understanding of this anyway, tell me if I'm wrong. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com, to tell me if I am right or if I am wrong. But you have to carry certain things past a certain age if you're renewing your health insurance. For example, you can't be 55 or something and say, well, I just want coverage for, yeah, I don't know, emergency room and, you know, doctor visits and stuff. Then they'll say, well, you have to carry a degree of mental health insurance in case you have mental health problems in the next coming years. And you might say, well, man, I haven't been diagnosed with that. I don't need that. I don't want to have mental health coverage or something. But under the new law, I guess it's certain ages. I'm not quite sure how it works, but my understanding is you have to carry certain things. They're trying to get everybody to pay for everything so that everything's paid for, I guess. So that's another thing, man, is that you're forced to buy coverage on some things that maybe are very, very unlikely to happen to you or something. Insurance is – remember that Simpsons episode where oh, man, I watch The Simpsons. Did you know Max Stalling? Let me just out Max Stalling here. He's the biggest Simpsons fan in the world. He has every episode on videotape. I think that's right. Is that right, Stalling? Call and defend yourself. 817-733-5256. I remember Max. He had every Simpsons episode on videotape. Just would record them, catalog them, label them. But there was that one great episode where the Bible-thumping neighbor Ned Flanders, Homer's neighbor. His house burned down, and he was crying in the front yard. His wife told Homer that, well, Ned never had, you know, he didn't have insurance. And his wife, Flanders' wife, said, no, he doesn't have insurance. Ned always considered it a form of gambling. But you know what? That's really all it is. When you really think about it, when you're just placing bets on anything from, yeah, emergency room, broken arms, illness, mental health coverage, gunshot wound, whatever. They all got the odds. That's what the insurance companies are looking at, you know? It's like I say every time a guy on a motorcycle passes me on the highway, the full band laughs because they know what I always say. I just say, it's not if, but when. Meaning, eventually, you're going to have an accident on one of those things. When I did my life insurance policy a while back, you know, and they come to the house and they take some blood and all that kind of stuff. I was a young, thank goodness, you know, healthy guy, non-smoker. They say, well, they ask, I tell guys, young guys who are thinking about getting a policy, I go, look, they're going to ask you two questions. They only want to know two things. I said, what's that, Phil? I said, they want to know, do you smoke and do you have a motorcycle? And that really is it. Those are the only two questions they asked me. Those are the two things that are going to put you in the hospital as a young, healthy guy with no other, pre-existing conditions or something like that. Do you smoke and do you have a motorcycle? If you do, it's going to be more expensive to have life insurance. If you don't, it's going to be cheaper. It's pretty much that simple. So think about that next time you buy that motorcycle and we'll go cruising around. Oh, man, I can't think of how many dudes have rear-ended me in the van. I just shrug my shoulders and move on to the next town. Gosh, we got rear-ended by some tough-looking bunch one night. We were up on one of those interchanges in Houston trying to get to the hotel. I get bumped from behind pretty hard. But I'm just in the old van, dude, you know? Put a little dent. I just kind of look back there. It's just it's like 3 in the morning. It's all these rough dudes back there. I just kind of waved at them. Just like, don't worry about it. I'm like, what am I going to do? Just pull over here on the Mixmaster, get out and ask for the guy's insurance? I'm like, dude, I don't think that's very smart. And we're like in Southeast Houston coming out of a bar, you know? I'm just like, so sure enough, we get to the hotel and there's a little dent in the bumper. I'm just like, oh, big deal. Gee whiz. But, yeah. But if you're on a motorcycle, my point is, that'd be a very different story. Everyone's like, well, man, I'm careful. I'm like, it's not you I'm worried about. Not me driving the thing. It's the other guy that's going to run into me or run the stop sign or rear end me or something. Oh, geez. Well, there's my fatherly tip for the day. God, I sound like an old guy. Listen to me. Stay off the motorcycles. They're fun, though, aren't they? But be careful. Plus, your life insurance policy is going to be very, very expensive. Well, something needs to be done. Something needs to be done now. Blake Walker is out there. He's pounding on it. He's motioning to me now, waving frantically, pointing to his watch. When do I get to come in and talk about all things Blake Walker, Walker, Texas road manager? I don't know if he wants to rehash the old days, as he so often does. He's a historian of the full band, for crying out loud. Or if he just wants to talk about, he's been talking a lot lately about Frisco, about soccer, college athletics. He wants to recap some things there, some thoughts he's had. Well, we're going to give him the platform. Brace yourselves, fans. Blake Walker's coming up next.
Because Texas ain't as big as it used to be. Together, we could drive for days.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, enlightening your musical life. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth. Well, folks, who do you have for us today, Pritchett? Pulling some random guy off the street? Some young kid who's never really done a whole lot? Digging deep? No, folks. We are reaching right into the prime guest bag today and plucking out none other than the great Walker, Texas road manager. Blake Walker is here, my old road manager. Always loves to come by and chat. A listener of the podcast, a guy who's always just squeezing me, prodding me, grinding on me for stories, for deeper stuff. What's this song about? We want to hear more about this. We want to hear more about that. And he joins us today. Welcome, Walker. Thanks for dropping by.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Walker was out there at Frisco, Texas here a while back. Lochran's Pub. Just getting the old ags out there. Right? Just circling the wagons. All getting the troops out.
All the old married people.
It's tough, isn't it, these days? Golly, all of us got old. What happened?
Got the babysitters, went out. We had a blast.
It was fun.
It was really cool.
It was a cool place. I think we're going to go back there. They were really interested in having us come back at the end of the year. It's fun. I mean, heck, we don't do, it beats driving to, I might love playing San Antonio and down there, but I mean, that's It's a bit of a haul. Frisco, not too bad.
No, well, for an
hour-ish, maybe from it. Of course, for you, it's like down the street.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes for me, but downtown Dallas, you know, hitting up the Tea Room when we always used to play the Tea Room, man. An hour there, an hour back.
Kind of a haul for the devoted fan out there living north of Dallas. Of course, we were thrilled the other night. There was just a buzz in the room. We had Walker, Texas Road Manager there. A couple of the old fans, Reed and Mad Dog, showed up.
Love Reed and Mad Dog. Classic.
And then, towards the end of the set, look out into the smoky darkness out there. Jason Stolle and Ryan Lynch. Oh,
legends.
Sharing a table, having a beer, having a few laughs, you know, checking out the band. Gosh, I can't believe it's been 4 years since those guys have been in the band. Almost 4 years, 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing, huh?
It's crazy. They both live right out there.
In Frisco.
And they're right near there. So I was trying to get them out bad. I was happy to see them.
I know. It was good of them to drop by. Now, what year was Frisco invented? Was that like 2003 or so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was a field when I was in high
school. I made a couple jokes about it. A couple people laughed. I was kind of... Of course, I'm the snobbish Dallas guy. I'm from Dallas proper. So, you know, I'm kind of like, Frisco, this wasn't invented back in the 80s or something like that. A couple of guys up front laughed, you know.
Hope
I didn't offend anyone.
Yeah.
It was a field. A lot going on up there, though, man. They got the ballparks and the soccer field and
the
nine high schools or something.
Yeah, the minor league.
And everyone gets a four-story house, too. It's amazing.
The prices are great. Yeah, they got an IKEA the size of the ballpark.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome. Yeah, they've got the Dr. Pepper Stars Center for the hockey fans. They've got the minor league baseball team, the Rough Riders for the baseball guys.
Yeah.
Then for the soccer guys, you've got the Pizza Hut Park.
They've got everything a sports fan needs.
It's awesome.
You know, my great mom wanted to buy me something for my birthday. It's tough when you get to be like, you know, in your 30s. But your mom.
I thought you were going to say 60s.
Yeah, 60s, no. So mom says, look. Just got to IKEA, you know, which is funny for her. She's kind of she loves all the nice stores and stuff.
How old is your mom?
Mom, she's probably 66.
Okay. You know. Right in my parents around in there. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I gotcha.
So she's kind of new to like IKEA and stuff, but they can't believe the bargains. They're used to paying top dollar at, you know, Weir's Furniture or something.
Yeah.
So she goes, let's go, just go up to IKEA. So I went up there. Nice to take me up there. She bought me that sofa you're sitting on there, Walker.
Oh,
the IKEA couch that
leather,
you know,
couch.
Yes, leather couch. You know, I don't know if it's real leather.
And gets their head
I'm sure it's not real cowhide. I'm sure it's kind of more.
It's nice.
Pleather.
Looks good.
But thanks, Mom. But we go in there. Of course, you know I was a big golfer in high school. I was in there looking at the rugs. I look next to me, PGA Touring Pro Harrison Frazier sitting there, my old teammate.
Wow.
He and I are the same age. Harrison's been on the PGA Tour for like, he's been out there 10, 12 years. He didn't go right out on the tour. That was pretty cool to, I go out and watch him play at Colonial Byron Nelson. Follow his tour. Follow
his
career.
Did you ever get to play against him in a tournament in high school?
Well, we were on the same team. I mean, we were
HP?
Both Highland Park High School.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So he was like, man, A team. I mean, he was our number one.
Did you ever get one of those days when you brought your A game and you took him down?
No, no. You know what? Really, really discouraging. I played a lot of golf. I was going to try to play on the golf team. Of course, Highland Park, man, you got like 30 guys who can play well.
Oh, yeah.
So I was going to be lucky to get on the JV or so. I was always like a starting JV kind of guy in college. Like if you shot like 78, like that was JV.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to be able to go low, man, to go on the A team.
Wow.
So Frazier shows up. He moves in from some out at like North Dallas or something. We're out there at the tryouts playing six holes out there at Grover Keaton out there by the fairgrounds.
That's where you guys
Grover
played?
Keaton. Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Come on, man. I know everybody thinks it's all nice and sweet playing in HP. We were out there at the Munis. So we're out there at Grover Keaton. One day at a tryout at Grover Keaton, came out, bag of clubs gone. Just stole my pings.
Oh,
stole
man.
My ping I2s.
That is classic South
yeah.
Dallas.
So there you go. But anyway, I was out there. So they go, man, this new guy, Harrison Frazier's coming to try out for the golf team. I'm kind of like, well, he's going to have to play pretty good to beat me. He just gets up on the first tee. I mean, one swing, dude, with the driver just bends it around the dog leg, like almost drives it onto the green. I'm just like, uh-oh. Well, there goes one spot, you know. On like par 36, he shoots like a 33 on the front. The coach is just like, well, don't even bother coming tomorrow, Harrison. We'll get you on the A team, on the varsity. But, yeah, that was my IKEA Frisco showing up with Frazier. But a lot of fun out there in Frisco. Everything's nice and new. Nothing's had time to just decay, to go into urban decline.
Yeah, the apartments out there are still new. Uh-huh. When the apartments go south, that's when everything else goes south. When they stop taking care of those.
Turn into Section 8. Man, you know, people got to live somewhere. They just move them out there, and then we'll see. Then you'll be a real city then.
Yeah.
Right now, you're just kind of some little suburban playground out there.
The crime rate goes up, and the football team gets better.
That's right. Listen to you. Well, you better. Yeah, man. We'll see. There's a lot of high schools out there.
Man, there's a ton.
9 or 10?
Yeah, there's a ton. When we were sitting out there waiting on the show to start, the sound guy was telling us that at the Pizza Hut Park, they rotate. The Frisco high schools get to play there and rotate. It's an awesome park.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah,
it's a really cool place.
It's a soccer field though, right?
Yeah, it's primarily for the. Right. Gosh, I'm gonna.
You go to a lot of FC Dallas.
That's
you
who it is.
You go to a lot of soccer games.
No.
Do you follow the World Cup?
I only follow the World Cup. I will watch the World Cup. But in my house, growing up, Dr. Walker said. Soccer is a Russian
communist sport.
That's right.
How come all of our dads said that?
It's just a bunch of Cold War.
Communist sport.
Guys, yeah. We soccer after like the age of 2 and 3,
yeah,
done. It's
done,
like you're
yeah,
bred for
yeah.
football, baseball, basketball. You got to pick one.
You know, what is the future of soccer in the United States? Give me a future.
They're talking about this a lot at the World Cup.
Because this was a big World Cup. They're always just like, man, what needs to happen and all this.
And we can't ever get to where everybody else is because it's – and I forget who was talking about this. One of these experts was saying that in these foreign countries, they come find you when you're young. And they pay
Their
for you.
Their best athletes play soccer.
Yeah.
Right?
They come get you when you're young, and they pay for you to go to a private school,
right.
And they train you, and they cover the cost. In America, it's the opposite. We've got to get out of high school, try to get a scholarship, and then try to get through college, and then go play professional soccer.
I see.
That we have to develop our skills on our own, and unless you're a rich kid, you can't play on all these select teams.
You got to travel by the uniforms and all that.
Clint Dempsey is the real famous guy from Nacogdoches, Texas, that played on the World Cup team, and I was following him because he's from Texas, and you know my wife went to SFA, and I was like, great, this guy's from NAC, and he said it best, you know. His parents were mortgaging their house and driving him to Dallas twice a week to pay for him to play in these select leagues. And they kept telling him, you're only as good as your competition. And so he had to get out of all the small town East Texas stuff, start playing with these guys in Dallas to get his skill level up. And he said it's so hard in Texas to do that. You really got to have a wealthy family that's into
soccer. Really travel around.
Yeah,
and is really into it.
And so it's one of these things where it's not thought about, you know, the United
States. Kobe Bryant doesn't play soccer. He's just going to grow up playing basketball, you know, or
but if MS he Smith. Did.
Well, yeah, can you
if
imagine?
Those guys
I mean,
did,
yeah,
dominate.
If their first deal, man, when they're 4 years old, you go, dude, that dude could score and just go up and down the field with the ball. You know, you're right. It's just it's not the primary vessel.
I just think it'll always be that way. We'll always be the underdog, which is fun.
But it's so fun popular. The funny thing is, though, all these kids play soccer when they're young.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not the it's all the rich kids in the minivans out there.
Oh yeah, and you got a better shot in America being a great soccer player, going through high school football and college football kicking than you do. Getting into a European select team
or making a living on
a MLS team.
Right.
You know, you see a lot of great soccer guys going to the NFL or college and kick. You know?
You know what was weird, though? We all grew up playing soccer, of course. And when I got into college, we had, you know, we played intramural sports. And, you know, we played, all this, flag football, softball. We played everything. It was so fun, man. Real competitive, awesome. But, man, the best sport to play was soccer.
Indoor?
Because – no, outdoor, 11 on 11.
Oh, wow.
And what was cool about it is none of us had really played since we were 12. I mean, everybody quits playing about 10. You know what I mean? A couple guys maybe played high school, maybe in our fraternity. But we're all pretty good athletes. But, dude, you get out there, just put on the shin guard, the headband, the eye black. And, dude, it's rough. I mean, and it's a real team sport. I mean, it was the first time that, I mean, you're out there on the field with 11 of your guys, you know, and you're 11 on 11. And, gosh, it was so fun. I remember just playing going, man, I don't remember just having this much fun. Of course, I played like YMCA, like six-man soccer.
Yeah.
And North Dallas Chamber, 11-man. But a lot of just six-man, but I forgot what it was like to be on a field with just 11 guys running, grunting, sliding into each other,
talking trash.
Oh, my God, it was awesome. Just corner kicks, just shoving guys out of the way. I mean, it was so fun. It was just a blast. I was like, man, I wish I could. I remember that was the only sport in intramurals I really miss. Because you just, you know, you play some form of softball or basketball just shooting around, but you never just go out and kick the soccer ball by yourself against the wall.
Yeah.
As a teenager, or you know what I mean? Or maybe, yeah. I mean, you just don't. But, man, getting out there chasing the ball around and knocking into people, God, it was great.
You know, the other thing that killed soccer in America was Title IX. When Title IX came out and all the colleges, like so the Big 12, for example,
yeah.
When Title IX came out and said, okay, you have to sign.
Now remind us what Title IX is.
Title IX is it passed in the, I guess, the early 90s, maybe late 90s, and it basically said you have to spend the
on
same,
women.
On women's sports in college, right. You have to spend the same for men and women. It has
right.
to be equal.
Right.
And so a lot of Big 12 schools, A&M, for example, did away with like men's wrestling,
yeah, dropped
men's
their,
soccer.
Dropped their programs.
Like men's lacrosse, men's soccer, men's wrestling. A lot of schools have it now, but it's private, and it's not sanctioned or paid for by the Big 12, and so they did away with all their men's soccer teams.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So you had
That's
to
right.
go up north to get a scholarship and play on a men's soccer team, and so it made it even harder to
right.
get out of high school and get a scholarship because a lot of these schools don't have soccer teams anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Man, that seems like sort of a that seems like an unintended consequence of that rule.
Beating. Dude, we have A&M now.
I understand what they're trying to do, but you're just like, dude.
But you also look
think
at,
about it. Also, it what's that going to do?
It's a beating because
know.
All those. I mean, hey, I love basketball, baseball, and football. Those are the three.
You
big
love
ones.
The WNBA.
And no, and the three big ones in college. Out of all three of those, when I worked for the athletic department mm-hmm. at A&M, the only one that made money was men's football.
Mm-hmm.
Even college baseball, on a great year when we went to the College World Series, it broke even.
Oh, man,
it's
yeah, the
so
traveling.
Hard.
And Yeah, it
yeah
is.
It's so hard
it
to
is.
Make
so
money.
Hard.
And so then you got to say, okay, well, now we have like women's equestrian, women's archery, women's pistol shooting. We have all these crazy women's sports now to even it out.
That are on scholarship? I mean,
oh, yeah, they're scholarship.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got to
a full
even
ride.
Out the money. Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Well,
because,
I got three girls, man. God bless section
oh, yeah.
of Title IX.
Title
Bring
nine.
It out.
I love it.
We're going to get a poker playing scholarship. Go to somewhere.
Yeah, we like I remember looking at the A&M national championships. Like I was trying to some argument I was in with Lynch, a usual
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
arguing about something, and we got like five women's equestrian national championships.
Nice.
So I'm just like, who even knew? You know, like unless your kid is you know in that, you just don't. You, no one ever pays it any attention unless you're in it, which you know it's cool for the
sure.
like, students to get a full ride out.
Yeah,
of it.
That's right. Well, you do have a lot of you know all those male athletes that they all get and go to college for free. You're gonna. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things that it just seems to. The trouble starts when they just mandate it. You know.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like if some universities might say, hey, we're going to make it equal or we're going to – if that's their call, cool. But once it becomes a law and you got to do it, there's a lot of unintended consequences.
Yeah, it's only at public universities. So, you know, your
right.
A&M, Texas, OU, all those places had – and that's why you still see TCU and SMU. They have men's
yeah.
soccer and – you know, it's real popular.
You know, I went to little bitty Southwestern University in Georgetown. 1,200 students. We didn't even have a football team, but our baseball team when I got there was full scholarship. Those guys were all full ride guys and played. Man, we played UT. I mean, we all went down to Austin to watch them play Texas. And man, we were competitive. Like the final score was like 9-5 or something. But man, a couple of my friends had home runs and it
oh,
was
yeah.
exciting. It was great, you know. And then man, like after my sophomore year, they just go, well, we're not. It's expensive to keep this all going, so it's not going to be. It'll just be a club sport now. It's not going to be. Scholarship. So they dumped all those scholarships. And so no, it was just, so we quit playing all those guys. And now you're just kind of like, dude, you know, I mean, we're just playing other like club sport, small schools. And
yeah.
not that we were ever like a huge program, but we did play some of those big games. It was great. You know, and I was just like, oh, well,
and it's a huge moneymaker for you guys too, to
well,
get to play a Texas or a
yeah,
bigger school.
And good recruiting. I mean,
yeah.
these guys had all, you know, a lot of them were from Austin and seen us play Southwestern Fighting Bucks, man, you know.
Nice.
Well, you know, you could. I mean, if you didn't, you know, get, you know, recruited by Texas, you need to go play and, you know, get a free scholarship at a free ride at a good school, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man, what you got plans for your child going to college?
Oh, she's got no choice. She'll be brainwashed immediately and
brainwashed
headed,
immediately.
Title IX,
Texas A&M. What if she looks at you and just said, "Dad, I'm going to Texas. There's not a damn thing you can do about it."
I think I'd rather her get pregnant before she gets married than tell me that she's going to end up going to the University of Texas.
The sound you just heard was coffee coming out of my nose.
I don't think I can take
Listen
it.
Listen to what you're saying.
I'm kidding.
I don't think you are. Anyone who knows you knows that you're not kidding. I mean, that's what makes it scary.
I have to say I'm kidding because that's a real messed up thing to say.
I think that's probably you're probably right. Goodness gracious.
Dude, there is 17 Aggies in my family tree.
What if they go, man, it's going to cost you X, or she can go free ride to UT, man. Free ride, don't pay a dime. Full scholarship. You just say, no, I'm writing the money to Texas A&M University.
I'll go get a second job and write that check
to
Texas A&M University.
Money well spent.
That's just me, man. I'm old school. We're brainwashed. I wear my wedding ring with my Aggie ring.
You're a cult. You're a member of the cult, man.
I'll admit it.
Oh, there's no question about it.
I'm the king. I drink the maroon Kool-Aid. I'm brainwashed. That's just the way it is. It's tradition in my family, and I like tradition. I want to keep it that way.
Hey, man. Amen. You heard it first from there. The numero uno Aggie out there, Blake Walker, here he is. You can't imagine what we listen to in the van as he's tried to indoctrinate me and Ryan Lynch and Jason Stolle. Three T-Sips, Longhorn fans all. Walker would just sit there and just pound away at the pulpit.
You guys would beat
pound
me down.
Pound at the pulpit.
Oh, my gosh.
Pounded. What has Texas ever really done? I mean, come on. And just it'd go round and round. Now we look forward to it, man. Those are the good old days.
Oh, you guys used to give me such a hard time. We'd have some long drive, and you guys would just beat me down with the roll the tape argument and all the 1939 Aggie championship. Is anybody still alive from that team? You guys gave me such a hard time.
Oh, it went on and on. It went on and on.
All in good fun.
All in good fun, and one day we'll all come crawling back to you, hands and knees.
I think it's going to be this year.
Well, Blake Walker has been here. Thank you, Walker, Texas Road Manager, for dropping by. Talking about collegiate sports, Frisco, I don't know. Well, join us next week again, won't you, Blake Walker?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. We've got new topics as we're going to look forward to talking to Blake next week. He wants to hear more about Phil's early years, the developing years, my high school bands, of which there were several. Going to go into some detail on that next week. So look forward to that on the podcast. Coming up here, I'm going to blindfold myself, stagger over to the vault, just rest my hands on some sort of great record, pull it out. We'll see what we get in the vault next.
Good evening, New York City. How you doing? Come on, Shea Stadium, you sound like you're half asleep. Come on, let's hear you. How you doing? It's good to see a few people who aren't worried about a bit of rain. You ain't worried about no rain, are you? Rain's a load of rubbish. Don't worry about rain. Anyway, what we got for you tonight is we ain't got no baseball. No baseball tonight. We ain't got no football. They're on strike. But what we have got for you is a little bit of what's going on in London at the moment. So will you welcome, all the way from Ladbroke Grove, London W10, The Clash! Come on!
Welcome to the Cavern
Just
Club.
Once I'd like to be introduced like that as I came onto the stage.
The Clash! Come on!
Great stuff, man. I bought this Clash record in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, I always loved The Clash. One of those bands you don't hear just a whole lot about. I mean, in certain circles you do, man, but I feel like, in the Texas country music realm, they're not a band that people are going to bring up. There's other rock bands that people bring up that they like that are more, in line with maybe country or something like that. The Clash are just a punk ska band, you know. Famous, of course. Great, great. Yeah, Mick Jones on guitar. He wrote a lot of the great songs. Of course, the great Joe Strummer. He was kind of the front guy with the Mohawk and the Telecaster. They're making a Joe Strummer Telecaster now, I saw. It's all beat up looking and everything. Pretty cool. Maybe I'll have to get me one of those. Joe Strummer, Mick Jones. The Clash had a very, really a short lifespan, really, just kind of there in the late 70s, early 80s. Punk as hell. But man, very melodic and energy and, songs like Train in Vain, which we'll hear a little bit later on, the live version of that. Should I Stay or Should I Go? Their seminal record, London Calling. Awesome. The Clash. Don't be afraid, folks. I love this one, dude. This is talking about just the man, the cops just bringing you down. Police on my back, The Clash.
So now I'm gonna sing. Police on my back.
putting us off the song now. I'm trying to concentrate, so stop yakking.
Yeah, this is The Clash. It's a record called Shea Stadium, Live at Shea Stadium. It's all them standing in front of like a big American flag kind of thing. I saw this record at, God, what's that cool record store? Vinyl shop there in Nashville, right off Music Row. Apologies, apologies. But I bought it there, brand new in the shrink wrap. Sounds great, looks great. I think they were opening for The Who. This is at Shea Stadium, The Clash. And this is their set, man, the whole thing. It was raining that night. If you've seen, there's an old video of The Clash going on stage at this gig. You know, just huge stadium, lots of lights and stuff like that. This was in their kind of Sandinista period, one of their later records. They look like they're going to war. They got, you know, like red berets on and stuff, and fatigues and stuff like that. Anyway, this was a little bit later in their career. But, man, they sound good. A lot of energy, just howling, tons of delay on the guitar. Pounding drums. Love it, man. I love this one, dude. I just love this. Love the ska, man. Just love the guitar rhythm on this. Armageddon time. The Clash at Shea Stadium. Relive it on the P2 Podcast.
Brr, 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 brr. and channel one way. Down, down, the shanty town, down back
to no suckers tonight. I like to yell and howl a lot when I play. I think that comes from Joe Strummer. Just the screaming, the yelling. Oh, it's rock and roll. You don't really see that a whole lot, man. You know, like Petty and the Beatles, they just, wow, wow. You're just going into the solo, just screams. Oh! I don't know. Don't see, country music, people don't really do that much. Maybe it's a rock and roll thing. I don't know. But no one was better at screaming and playing cool songs than The Clash, man. Man, Annie Lennox. You know Annie Lennox? Short-haired gal. Eurythmics, you know. Sweet dreams are made of these. But she's a great singer, man. Has had a very successful solo career. Now, she did a version of this next song, Train in Vain, that's outstanding. Seek that out. Annie Lennox, Train in Vain. But this is The Clash. You know you stand by your man. All the things you can explain away. Good version here from Shea Stadium, The Clash. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Thrilled you joined us this week. This is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast. Our thanks to Blake Walker. Walker, Texas Road Manager, he will be joining us next week as we begin a two-part series to go back through my own history, P2 history. He's confused about what bands I was in high school, college, etc., what album came out. Just trying to recapitulate it a little bit. You can't go on Wikipedia and find this stuff out. So join us next week as Walker will be here for a order of chronological events, Phil's bands, albums, how it all came together. So get your pencils ready. Well, email me, phil@philpritchett.com, with any comments or questions. As always, I read everyone. Thank you very much for sending them in. Love you all out there. Call me, 817-733-5256. Have the full band come play for you. Play at your club, your event, your festival, your backyard, your birthday party, your crawfish boil, your wedding. Oh, man, we just had so many great weddings this year. It's just been fantastic. So much fun. It's life at its very best, isn't it? Your wedding, your reception, and then P2 and the full band up there. Just making it all work. Love it. Call me. We'll come play it. Just let me know. 817-733-5256. Dude, the new Antarctica USA shirt is here. Going like hotcakes. $15 off the site. Willie, Nolan, and Earl. I'll ship it out myself. Send me an email. I'll sign it when I send it to you if you want me to do that. Join us next week, don't you? Why don't you? Thanks for joining us this week. Much tougher.
Should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the day I die. Come on and let me know. Should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine, the next is black. So if you want me off your back, let me know. Should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you've got to let me know. This indecision's bugging me. You don't want me, set me free. Exactly who am I supposed to be? Don't you remember where you met me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow?